This is about the fifth question that the questioner had put forth. People have become sahib-e-gharz. They have their own agendas. They work under some agenda, under wrong pretexts. So as I said, this is also possible, that people work under wrong agendas and wrong pretexts. And that is why the hadith speaks very strongly about rectifying intention. As Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu was given some advice that make your intentions thorough, because in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a small action with good intentions are great. Small actions, but the intentions are right, so those actions become great and weighty in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, there are hadiths which say that man does something for show, then Allah ta'ala will make a show of him on the day of Qiyamah. That is, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala will disgrace that person. If you have done something for show, ostentation, then Allah ta'ala will make a show of you on the day of Qiyamah. So this ahadith that speak about sincerity, then you'll find immense hadith, plentiful hadith, person fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wrong intentions, then he is fighting, he is struggling, has got no reward whatsoever. Though fighting and spending in the path of Allah ta'ala are very great deeds, extremely great deeds, but then his intentions are corrupt. His intention is publicity, his intention is show, then there is no reward for him. That's why the hadith says that who does work for show, then actually he has made shirk. Actually he is guilty of shirk. Shirk in this way, shirk is to join partners with Allah Ta'ala. So when his intention is to please someone, then apart from pleasing Allah Ta'ala, he is pleasing someone else. So he's joined that person in the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, a type of shirk. So this is in its place, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept these works, whether it is jihad, whether it is charitable works, whether it is namaz, roza, etc., whatever, but you have done it just to make a show, just for publicity, then Allah Ta'ala doesn't accept this, these works are rejected. But by the same token, to unnecessarily have doubts about people and make everybody a target of your suspicion, that is also wrong. If someone is doing some good piece of work, then you say, no, he's doing it for show, he's doing it with wrong intentions, he's doing it under wrong pretexts, then this is also wrong. Like doing something with wrong intention is wrong, then to have suspicions and doubts about people unnecessarily, that is also wrong. There's so many hadiths about these type of things, that to have suspicions about people, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم. Avoid much suspicion, because some suspicion are sin. Right? Some places suspicion is permissible, right? But all suspicion is not permissible. But they say some suspicion is permissible, and the fuqaha give explanations. For example, in the administrating of affairs in this world here, sometimes you act on doubt and suspicion. Like, there is a judicial, one person makes a claim that this person ate up my wealth, and he produces evidence. Now, the court hasn't seen all this. Court is not a witness. It can be true, and his claim can be false as well. But the court now is in a position to make a decision in favor of the person who has furnished the evidence. Okay? So though it is not an absolutely conclusive thing, but he has presented evidence for his case. And when he has presented evidence for his case, now the court is under obligation to give and to pass judgment in his favor. It's also a type of a doubt, but what do you do? The Sharia has made a provision for this. So that is why it says some suspicions. So this labeling someone or accusing someone and accusing him without any intention, this is grave sin. That's why the hadith says those people who have believed with their tongue and their faith has not yet reached their hearts, then don't pursue and look out for the faults of Muslims. One who looks out for the faults of Muslims, then Allah Ta'ala will disgrace him, embarrass him, even though he's sitting right inside his house. Somehow or the other, Allah Ta'ala will see to it that your faults and your weaknesses will be exposed. So don't look out for them. What business you got? Isa alayhi salam is reported to have said that be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and behave like servants of Allah ta'ala. Don't behave like as though Allah ta'ala has sent you as a police to go and police everybody's affairs and works. What is he doing in the confines of his house? In his business, what is he doing? You haven't been sent for that. You've been sent to be servants. أَخَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ That's the purpose for his sending you. So when that's the purpose, then don't you behave and imitate as a police. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, someone complained to him about his neighbor, that my neighbor takes wine. So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu explained that and warn him, caution him. So mustn't I report him to the police, to the authorities? No, don't do that. Just warn him and caution him. Don't go to that extent of reporting him to the police. These are Islamic akhlaq, Islamic character. Unnecessarily, we don't go and smear someone's name. We don't go and label the person. We don't go and disgrace him. We don't go and insult him. This is why the hadith says that usually it's got some hundred divisions. It's a sin that can be divided in 100 parts, and the lowest of which is like fornicating one's own mother. That's interest. It can be divided in some 100 odd parts, and the lowest level is equivalent to incest with one's own mother. But insulting and disgracing a Muslim, that is the worst type of usury. Insulting a Muslim, disgracing him, that is the worst type of usury. And others reported this from several hadiths. Insulting him, putting him down, that's the worst type of usury. Then he explains the wa'id, the warning of that person who tries to run down one person in order to elevate the other. You're running him down. Why? It's a member of your party, person that adheres to your thought. So you have got regards and respect for him. But the opposition, you dislike him and you hate him. So you run down the opposition. Why you run down the opposition? So that you could exalt a member of your party. See, party politics, how you run the person down. This is indeed a great sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that just to exalt a member of your party, you go and run this person down. On the day of Qiyamah, people that do this type of business will be in a serious plight. On the day of Qiyamah, when the Pul Sirat will be laid, people are asked to cross over the Pul Sirat. One that had made false accusations, he will be brought up and he will be made to cross the Sirat, the fire of Jahannam shooting from underneath, and he will be made to stand there. He won't gain any access through the Pul Sirat. Imagine the Pul Sirat, and we hear the description of the Pul Sirat. Here the fire of Jahannam is shooting from underneath, he can't move, he can't make any access, no progress. Just furnish the evidence. You made accusation against that person, bring the evidence. Where's the evidence? And obviously, where can you find the evidence when there isn't, when it wasn't a truth? Then where is he going to find the evidence? The person that made this type of accusations against people, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be put into that end of Jahannam where all the filth, the pus, and the dirt of the people of Jahannam will be collected. He will be in that. He will be in that position. And the hadith says that if someone insults you and they hurl abuse against you, then you don't insult him and don't you hurl abuse against him. He has done this, but you don't retaliate in the same way. Because if you don't retaliate, then you will get the reward for your patience, and the consequence of the sin will be on him. وَبَالُ ذَلِكَ عَلِي. The consequence of the sin will be on him, not on you. So why do you lose your rewards? There's so many ahadith about respecting a mu'min, concealing his faults, weaknesses. You conceal his faults, Allah Ta'ala will conceal your faults on the day of Qiyamah. This was quite a common thing. You conceal the person's fault, quite a common thing. Nobody knows about it right till the day of Qiyamah, but you conceal the person. You didn't expose the person whatsoever. Today I know the fault of someone, and I don't have the patience until and unless I don't go and publicize that person's weakness. I must go and publicize. I must go and make an advertisement of that person's weakness. Then only will I feel happy and comfortable. There is an incident of a good woman. I won't say extraordinarily pious, but a good woman. She's the woman of the house, and her sister-in-law comes in. Now, the old days I'm talking of, when everything was in constraints. So her sister-in-law comes in, just married and came in. Obviously, there is a rivalry within sister-in-laws, right? One wants to curry favor against the other. So now she is the woman of the house, and here this one comes in. She's absolutely new, and all the eyes are on the new one, because she is the wife of the eldest brother, so all the eyes will be on her, right? So she's getting all the favor, she's getting all the respect. Now this old sister-in-law, look at it, how she plays it. It happened that there was a noise in the kitchen, right? So the old lady wants to know, what is this noise about, all about? So the report goes to the old lady, some of the firewood, the person was taking away the soot, the soot he was carrying, and it fell. He was carrying the soot, so it fell. That was the noise that you heard. So somehow they just covered the whole thing with soot, and they went and threw the whole thing. But really what it was the jar of ghee. Now in that day, that zamana, ghee was a very, very expensive commodity. Special guest, you will prepare his food with ghee. A big jar, and I think broke. Everything wasted. So now she tried to cover the fault of this person here. Right? A new woman came into the house. She's got all the respect, but she didn't think to herself that this was an ideal opportunity to put her down. The right time, she was getting all the favor, she was getting all the attention, but now it's the right time to disgrace this woman. So let's disgrace this woman now, so that the attention that she was receiving, that will be lost. She made up a story for her, said, servant was taking out the suit and he dropped the suit. There was a noise, we just throwing it out. Concealing the faults of a Muslim. The Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that my Shaykh, Muhammad Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, had received an invitation, prior to which I had already received the invitation. I had already received the invite, and it was a police officer who had extended the invitation. And I knew him firsthand. I knew him, I knew his business, and the fact that 70-80% of his income was revolving around bribery, right? So his income was not permissible. It was bribery and corruption through which he was getting his wealth. My Shaykh didn't know about the person, didn't know him for a bar or so, but he invited Hazrat. And Hazrat felt that it's a sunnah to honor a Muslim, and he accepted the invitation. But by the same token, this person, this police officer, he says, Hazrat, Mohan Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, that Muli Zakaria could be Sat Li Ana. You must bring Zakaria also for the invitation. When I received the invitation, I turned it down because I knew the person's background. I didn't tell him anything, but I turned the invitation. But now when Sheikh was invited, he accepted. Then he was asked to call me. Now what do I do? So I attended the invitation. And then after eating, I went out of the house. When I was a distance away, out of sight, then I put my finger into the throat and I vomited everything out. The reason that if I am going to tell my Sheikh about this, then I am exposing a believer's fault in the presence of my Sheikh. Sheikh's respect is in his place. But I don't need to go and expose the Muslim's fault before my Sheikh. Why? What's the need for that? We have got that duty to conceal the Muslim. Whatever it is about duty, and our work is to conceal, not to expose. So, there's 101 mistakes that are connected to the tongue, all to the tongue. Rasulullah Pasam in a lengthy hadith explains to Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu that people will generally go into Jahannam because of the earning of their tongue. Because of the earning of the tongue. So Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu was quite surprised. And how come? Says yes. Like the sickle, the sickle, it collects all the hay and it stacks it up. The same manner, people collect all the sins with their tongue and they store it up in the books of deeds. In the books of deeds, they store all the sins up. Earn a lot of actions, a lot of works, but then by the same token, you insult this person, disgrace that person, abuse that person, speak lies against that person, and all that is given, all that then is wiped out. The good what you do, that is moved over to the person that you had spoken against, you had insulted, you had disgraced. And then if it squares up, well and good. If it doesn't square up, then in proportion to how much you have insulted him, his evil will be loaded onto you. In proportion to how much you have insulted him, how much you have hurt him, how much you have disgraced him, his evil is loaded onto you. So really that person is a pauper on the day of Qiyamah. The pauper on this in this earth, the beggar in this earth, you can understand, right? He is going through constraints and difficulty for a short period. But on that day, when everybody is in need of nekis and righteousness and sawab, and then your sawabs are being taken away and people's wrongs are being loaded upon you, really that day, the person who's lost out on that day is a real loser. There can't be a loser greater than the loser that is a loser on that day. The hadith speaks about lying. That lying takes you to Jahannam. Rasulullah SAW would be very displeased with the person who lies until that person makes tawbah, then Rasulullah SAW would not be happy with the person. Now we wonder many a times, why is it that we don't see the type of fortune in spite of we performing namaz, etc. These basic things, speaking lies, etc. The best person is known to be that person whose heart is clean, who tries to join up brothers, uns. He tries to join up brothers, conceals people's faults, and he's got a good heart. That is the best type of person, best person in the wording of the hadith. And the worst person who's got a bad heart, who tries to break up and divide Muslims. This person's fault, he's going reporting it to that person's fault, this person, and then a whole division is created in the ranks of Muslims. So that is the worst type of person. This person is the best type, who joins, who's got a clean heart. He doesn't have malice, he doesn't have any hatred in his heart. 2 days in the week, Mondays and Thursdays, people's deeds are presented before Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala announces forgiveness for all. But for that two people who harbored malice for each another, imagine Allah by saying free, go, I've forgiven all of you. Small mistakes, discrepancies and all that, all maaf, everything is maaf. But we will say, no, I have to harbor malice for this person here. I must harbor malice. So Allah Pak says, your action is in suspense. You don't qualify for this, but the rest of the people, they qualify for this. Just for harboring malice, and you get deprived of that divine forgiveness. Everybody is giving that special bargain that is coming on, everybody is qualifying. But you harboring malice, no, you go out. You don't deserve that. You don't qualify for that. So that person who harbors malice, he's got filth in his heart, he's got jealousy, etc. in his heart, and who causes division in the ranks of the Muslims, and he is counted as the worst person. That person has got a clean heart, no jealousy, no malice, no hatred and filth in his heart. And he's got a good tongue, he doesn't hurt people with his tongue. And that person is counted as the best person. He joins up. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sallam again tells him a lot of good deeds, abwabul khair, abwabul bir, all the avenues of good. Then he asks him, hal adulluka ala milaki dhalika kulli? I show you something to which all this will become easy. You'll be able to manage all this, roza, everything of Islam, you'll be able to manage it. And you'll have a control over it. So yes, do show me. Look after the tongue. Just that tongue. You look after the tongue and you'll see you'll be able to do so much, you'll be able to earn so much. And then you abuse the tongue, you don't use the tongue correctly, and the good that you were doing, all that good will be all lost. You don't have the motivation, you don't have the heart to do the good any longer. Last night I was explaining, that person spoke against that buzurg, and all the good that he was doing, everything began to collapse in his life. Everything, that good he was doing, all began to collapse. So the way to accumulate and preserve all this is to look after the tongue. Where the Sahabi is asking, Man Najat, what is the way of salvation? Again, look after the tongue. So there's so much of emphasis just on looking after the tongue. This morning also, look after your guest and then maintain good relationship. Or fal yakul khayran aw liyasmut. Either if you need to speak, then speak good words. Where you can reconcile, you can improve relationships, speak that type of things. Otherwise, keep quiet. What's the need to talk at every occasion? Every occasion, the person who talks too much, then his mistakes are too much. He talks too much, then there's a lot of mistakes. And either with that, anything that comes before him and he's giving it. Anything comes before him, everything that comes before him. But that one who remains quiet, then he remains out of the arena of trouble. There's no trouble against him. So sometimes it's lies, sometimes it is bickering, sometimes it is gossiping, sometimes it is laughing and insulting others. You want to insult someone, you want to push him down so that your party can have the upper hand, the party that you belong to that has the upper hand. Your circle, your party means your group, your circle has the upper hand, and that person can be pushed down. So you go and do these type of things and you see that good that you have in you, that motivation to get up for tahajjud, to do any good that you were accustomed to, everything is lost. Everything goes one after the other. Everything is demolished in your life. You insult someone and you disgrace someone, you laugh at someone, make a mockery of that person. On the day of Qiyamah, when the person is in extreme difficulties, in pain and difficulty, and he's called from one door, as though the door is a way for his exit out of trouble. The door will be open like an exit for him out of trouble. So as he approaches the door just shuts down. Then he's again in trouble again, and he's looking out for some exit for trouble. Another door opens out as though it's going to be an exit for him from trouble. And he comes near to the door shuts down again. So like you've been laughing at the others, making a mockery, pushing them down, then you will be treated in the same way. Kama tadinu tudanu, that the way you behave, you will be treated in the same way. Kama tadinu tudanu, dayan Allah Ta'ala ki zaat hai, that the one that is going to recompense Allah Ta'ala, he's going to recompense. The way you treat people, you will be treated the same. All of us are alike in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Nobody's got any superiority, and Allah Ta'ala loves us equally. We cannot say, I have a personal relationship with Allah Ta'ala. No, nobody's got any personal relationship. You're all equal. You are all identical. Then we need to behave like that. We need to behave exactly the same. We don't know. Allah Pak, like He loves you, He loves me. He loves that person, He loves this person. You can't say for any reason that I am the chosen of Allah Ta'ala. That is a Jewish statement. نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. That was a Jewish concept and belief. We are the favorite of Allah Ta'ala. We are the chosen race. That is not a Muslim to say. It's not a Muslim's place to make this type of statement. That is the Jewish. When they lost everything, and they moved away from their path, they moved away from their righteousness, then they were to make this type of claims. No, we are the chosen of Allah Ta'ala. أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ لَيَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُدَى. We got our rights. Our royalties in Jannah is already reserved. That is not, that was a Jewish concept, it was a Jewish belief. Here we are all identical. Even that kafir, even if he is a kafir, we don't have a right to think ourselves to be superior to him. Because by Allah Ta'ala, what is going to be judged is the last moment. Khawatim al-ibratu bil-khawatim, like the hadith says, that what is really of essence and importance is what is going to be your last. Right, what he's doing, we resent, we disgust that kufr of his, we condemn it. But we cannot say that we will be better than him. That Allah Ta'ala knows. We don't know. Today I'm here, I'm like this. Tomorrow what's going to be my position? In a moment what's going to be my position? Allah Ta'ala knows. Many a time you hear of situations, stories, people that were superb in every respect. In every respect, superb. Intelligent. And they're performing well in everything, everything, in every department they are performing very, very well. I know of several people, not one person, I know of several people like that. Their own families come and tell the stories. And he is superb in everything, in his namaz, in everything. And then with the passage of time, something happens to him and he just turns around, he flips around. And when he flips so badly that he doesn't mind talking highly about Christianity, about, you know, I enjoyed the pork this morning, that type of thing. And speaking out against Islam, he doesn't mind doing it. Just a moment has to pass, and the person takes a total somersault. So you don't know what the future holds for you. You don't know what the future holds for you, then you're supposed to be in a fear, in a state of fear and hope, and in a state, mental state, where you're just hoping Allah Ta'ala to keep you safe and sound. That you don't somersault like how these other people are somersaulting. That these incidents are glaring before us. So it's a thing that we need to be very careful, very cautious about. Speaking lies, insulting, disgracing, running someone down. Now, that non-Muslim that sees our behavior like this, imagine what an impact, how it impacts on the non-Muslim. When he hears this, he sees this, or we are pamphleteering against each another, we are going out in a smearing campaign. What happens to him? He feels really that this is what Islam is all about, to insult, disgrace, na'uzubillah, to run the person down. So are we doing a service to Islam or are we doing a disservice to Islam? And we carry on like this, we conduct ourselves in this way, run our brother down, push him down, smear campaign, pamphleteering, all these type of things we go and do. For small political ends and political agendas, we do these type of things. How does it impact on the non-Muslim? Non-Muslim feel, well, this is how the Muslim behaves, so move away from Islam. So really, have we attracted people to Islam? We have brought them any closer and nearer to Islam? Or have we distanced them away from Islam? As the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman says, it's something for us to learn. He says that any good teaching of Islam, a good teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all the teachings are good. So any teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if a Muslim practices it, then he will get the good of this world and he will get the good of the hereafter. By the same token, if a kafir practices upon that teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he doesn't receive anything in the hereafter, but definitely he will get the reward of it in this world. Now you hear in businesses, right? This business is so good, right? You come and return anything, they will readily accept. You come with a receipt, I'm not too happy about this. Can you take it back? Oh, he's taking it back. But now this is a teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Your brother has purchased something from you and he wants to return it. So return it, Allah Ta'ala will cancel your sins. Allah Ta'ala will forgive your sins, but you will receive it. Now you hear in many a shops there, when they practice these type of things, then Allah Ta'ala gives them progress. Now you see, he's a chain store, Woolworths now, and they're progressing so much. So they're progressing because they brought in that system of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to their business. But it was a calculated effort from our side to remove that practice of Rasulullah Wasallam from our businesses, so we will go down. He is practicing it, he will get the honor of it. Though there is nothing for him in the hereafter, but he is practicing it here, so he will definitely be honored. You practice it, you will get the honor, the reward of it in both the lives. He practices it, he will also get. He's a teacher or something, it's for everybody. He practiced it, he took advantage over it, so he is gaining the reaping the profit. Now you think to yourself, oh, why are they making it, and why they are making such strides, and why aren't we making the strides? But you were left apni ghar ki baat hai. Things of your own home, you left it out. They picked it up. When they picked it up, now they're going. Then the hadith says again, أَقِيلُ ذَوِيلْ هَيْعَاتِ أَثَرَاتِهِمْ. People of importance, people that are normally noble and respectable, if they happen to make mistakes, they have to make some, they stumble and they make mistakes, then don't make a publicity of it. Just forget it, ignore it. أَقِيلُ ذَوِيلْ هَيْعَاتِ. Just cancel it, forget it. Hudud, well, one is corporal punishment. For that, there is a stipulated punishment that you can't make a concession for anybody. Someone has drunken wine, for example, or is fornicated. So there is a stipulated punishment. There can be no concession for anybody. But other than that, small mistake someone has made, something that comes under, beneath, or let us say, something that is besides the stipulated punishment, someone has been guilty for that. And forgive him, don't make a publicity of it. Don't go and talk about it. It's a respectable person. He stumbled, he made a mistake, right? When he made a mistake, now you made a publicity of the person. So before he was doing the wrong, he was doing it under wraps, he was doing the wrong. But now you made a publicity of him. So he says to himself, well, now there is a publicity, people know about it. Then why mustn't I be blatant about the wrong that I'm doing? So it is in your interest just to hush it. Say, no, it's a misunderstanding. And forget it. That person will get some courage and he will feel, no, my wrong is not advertised and publicized, so I can carry on, continue with my life. Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, very, very intelligent person, very, very intelligent, far-sighted people. If there was a case in a madrasa, a student was wrong of some misdemeanor, some type of misconduct, for example, the student had gone to the bicycle, to the cinema, right? Hazrat would know about it somehow, someone would inform him that's what happened last night. People that are in charge of the madrasa. So Hazrat would call in that youngster who is wrong of this misdemeanor. Now, but now look at the insight, look at the understanding. He sees, he sizes the person, that this person seems to be a noble, from a noble background, but he's just stumbled. You know, sometimes it's peer pressure, everybody's going to it, so why are you getting left out? Right? But in the meanwhile, you have to discipline this boy, so how you discipline him? So he says, Hazrat would call him up, says, there is a false rumor about you, but I know it's false. It's absolutely false. It's unfounded. But someone is just spreading it. But just see in future that this type of rumor doesn't go around. So he takes a deep breath. The Hazrat, he doesn't know about me still, you know. He doesn't know about me still. I'm still covered up. So for the future, he will be more precautious. He'll take the precaution. But if he knows now, the world knows about me, Hazrat, he knows about me now. Now it's already no longer a secret. So why do I do this secretly any longer? So we have to work with people, respect the person, you treat him with love, with a little bit of regards, you'll see, you'll get paid for it. But now straight away, you want to knock the person, hammer the person. What we need to understand, we are a minority. In this country, we are 3-4%, right? 96%, 97% all kuffar. They're watching our behavior. They're really watching our behavior. I was in one sitting, and I seen a white man knows about some magazine, and he's actually insulting, he's actually making a mockery. Oh, you know, the type of words that are used. He's saying, oh, this behavior is kufar behavior. And this, so now who is saying this? A non-Muslim. But what he is doing, he is disgracing us, he's insulting us. Okay? So really, we need to be alert, we need to be understanding that our papers, our talks, everything is going in the hands of kuffar as well. When it's going into the hands of kuffar, they're looking at our behavior, they're watching our conduct, then we are not propagating Islam. Are we making dua ladala, Islam must rise and shine? And then what are we doing? Are we behaving in that way that Islam will rise and shine? It won't. It's a procedure. You need to follow the procedure. You need to understand all these hadiths, etc. Put it in perspective, then you will find that if you are talking about it, you are making dua about it, and you are behaving correctly and conducting yourself correctly, then you will find the day where Islam is on the rise. But on the one end, you're making dua, and your conduct is totally off. the conduct is off. It's an example for that is, you are a salesman selling cars, right? So you go and make an advertisement, you go and talk about it. The whole world buy these cars here. Yusuf's Motors. Go and buy Yusuf Motors, right? The whole world came to know Yusuf Moto, Yusuf Moto. When they heard about it, they say, all right, where's your showrooms? We're going to see your showroom and you see all the motor cars. You were all garbage and all dirt and filth lying there. Well, the customers and the clientele, will they be impressed? They won't be impressed. You were all dented and knocked down, broken down 1940 motor cars. Other people call it scorers. So all these type of things there. Will anybody be impressed? So you are on the one end inviting towards Islam. People say, they want to see Islam firsthand. Then when they come to see Islam firsthand, they see you fighting up in arms. You can slander the person and you can run the person down. Say, this religion here. Then actually we're playing in the game of the kuffar. What we need to understand, we're playing in the game of the kuffar. The media is portraying Islam as a religion, very aggressive, very harsh. The media is portraying it in that way. Terrorism, and they very, very irresponsible type of people. And then when you behave like this, they say, no, what we read in the media is right. Because these people behave like that. Their nature is harsh, they're aggressive, they're insulting, they're abusing. This is what we see in the media, and this is what we see in them. So actually, you're endorsing their doubts. But if we behave differently, we can have some composure, some calmness, some type of respect, understanding, and we hide away the faults of people, weaknesses, etc. This is something else. This is totally something else. The enemy also will be melted. He will come down. These people here is something else. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Discuss some of the adab of the home and communal living. That firstly, before entering the home, one should make his presence known. That perchance there might be some namahram woman sitting in the lounge or near the entrance of the home, so they could make proper parda before a person enters the home. Then, when entering, a person should enter the home with the right foot, reciting the Muslim dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mawliji wa khayra al-makhraji bismillahi wa lajna. وَبِسْمِ اللَّهِ wa ala اللَّهِ رَبِّنَا تَوَكَلْنَا. And then a person should make salam to the inmates of the home. Then together with that, a person should, as the teaching of Islam is, that everything should be neat and clean. Likewise, a person should ensure that the home is kept neat and tidy, and things are not lying strewn about, and things are not kept untidy. Everything is kept neat and tidy. Similarly, things that are used by everyone in the home, then a person, and it has a fixed place for it to be kept, then a person after using it should keep it back in that very same place. For example, a bunch of keys, there's a special place for it to be kept. So a person shouldn't leave it somewhere else and now constantly leave to other people going to look around for it when the need comes for them to use that bunch of keys, for example. Then if, for example, a person has a few members of the family in their home, that a certain time should be kept for making ta'aleem of some kitab, especially fazail sadaqat, or fazail amal, and also basis yawad, that way some dini activity also takes part in the home, and also some time for zikr, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, where everyone can sit together, and one can impart also dini knowledge to others if they do not have the knowledge of it. Then also one should try to get rid of anything that would prevent the malaika from entering the home. For example, any animate pictures, objects, or a person has some dog within the home. So a person should try to cover the, best would be that to get rid of those pictures. Otherwise, a person should cover those pictures so that the malaika and the angels of rahmat would be able to descend and come within that home. Then when a person is leaving the home, should leave the home with the left foot, reciting the masnoon dua, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And a person should always inform those at home the whereabouts of where he is going. It shouldn't be such that a person leaves the home and the people of the home don't know where the person has gone. Now this causes them taklif if they need to find out where he is or if they need some work to be done for them. And then a person, whilst at home, to try to see to it that he makes everyone comfortable, that he doesn't cause any type of taklif to others, either by speaking rudely to the other, to the inmates of the home, or by a person causing any type of taklif to them, but rather a person should live with harmony and peace with the people at home. And then if a person needs to go to some other room of the home, for example, if it's not a person's private room, the person's parents' room, or his brother's or sister's room, so a person should also ask ijazat before entering that room. Perchance they might be undressing or in some situation where it wouldn't be it's a proper situation for you to enter and see them in that condition. Then a person should also make sure that if he has the ability, that there's no intermingling of non-mahram women and men in the home. A person should make sure that there is proper parda in that home. That if, for example, some other people come, then separate facilities, or they should be seated in a separate place, and the men should also be seated in a separate place. Then when a person is discussing, a person, for example, the men of the home, when they return back from the masjid, and if they heard any nasihat or any bayan, then they should make it a duty of passing on this, whatever deen they have learned from the masjid, they should pass it on to the woman folk at home. For this is the duty to the woman at home, that whatever deen they have learned, they should also pass it on to them. And if a person is, whilst at home, if a person is not occupied with anything deeni, then a person should see to it that he does not remain idle, but rather he should make himself engage in something, for example, some household chores, or a person should get himself involved in some carpentry or some gardening, etc., so that he does not get influenced by the evil thoughts or stray thoughts of shaitan. And together with that, a person should also fulfill the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to also assist the azwaj mutahharat in the household chores and also in his personal matters. So likewise, a person shouldn't feel it below his dignity, for example, to do some of the kitchen work or to wash the dishes at home or to do his own personal work. And thus a person shouldn't rely on others to do his work, but rather a person should see to it that he does his own work. Otherwise, if he doesn't have the ability to do it, then in a dignified manner he should approach the respectable people of the home to assist him in that type of work.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. There is a hadith which says Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had prohibited from Iqran or Qiran. Qiran means to take two dates in one go. Is, for example, something being served, so each person is required to take one date. Now, someone, in place of taking one date, he takes two dates. So Rasulullah disapproved of this. The reason is obvious, that when there is something that is being taken by everybody sharing something, then each person must be considerate of the other. When something is being enjoyed by all that are present, then each person needs to be considerate of the other. Now this is just one hadith, but this hadith teaches us a lot of aspects about communal living. Now one is food, for example. Now there is a tray of biscuits or something, right? Or food has been prepared. Shops, obviously, in a little bit of moderation, they have made it. Now the plate is coming towards me, and I take out four pieces, left one piece for the 10 people to share. Obviously, that would be wrong. I need to see, I take a small piece and let the others take after that. Okay. So anything that is being enjoyed by all the participants in that gathering, one needs to be considerate. Anything, one is food. One is a thing that is being used commonly by everybody. Like Munisuf explained, a key, bunch of keys. So you will need it just now. Your son may need it, your brother may need it, someone may need it. So see to it that it's placed in that proper place. Even though it is difficult to place it there, then place it there. Just now he'll look for it and he won't find it, and there will be some type of uneasiness. Similarly, if someone is given some work to be done, like your father has told you, right, go and post this letter, go and accomplish this work. Once you have completed the work, you come and notify him that this work has been completed. Otherwise, his mind is in suspense. Malum nahi usne ye kaam kiya yani. His mind is in suspense. I don't know if this child done the work or not, didn't do the work. So once you have accomplished the work, then go and notify him that this work that you had asked me, I have accomplished the work. He is no more in suspense. You are living communally, and there's one head of the house, father or elder of the house. If you're going somewhere, then tell him that I'm going. Okay? Or better still, ask him for permission. If it's your father and you're living under his mercy or under his shelter, then ask him permission, Abba, I need to go here. What do you think about it? Ask him, even though you are grown up. Even though you are grown up, but ask him for permission. You benefit in two ways. One is that you get the blessings and the dua of the grown up person. And number two is, there is some system in that. If there is some problem, your father can notify you, Abba, there is some problem in you going here, don't go please. Then as far as entering the home, then there are different types of homes and different type of quarters, right? One is your own home. Your own home also, when you are entering, then you don't only notify your presence, you introduce yourself. You knock at the door, they ask who? I am here. No, you don't say I am here. Then you give your name. In whichever name, they recognize you. They recognize you by a certain name. For example, they recognize you by Abba. Your Abba is here. So he knows, all right, my Abba is here. Whichever way they recognize you, then you identify yourself to them in this manner, right? Then number two is this, that even if it is your own home and it is just you and your mother or your family that is sharing the house, then too you notify them that you're coming in. Because the chances may be that they may be undressing and you walk into the house. Or the chances may be that she may have her friend there, right? And our friends are sitting together, woman to woman. They won't have the scarf over the head, or they won't be in a position that you should be seeing them. And you will see them in that state, so you notify your presence that you're coming in. That's the second thing. The third thing is this, that you must greet. When you're meeting, you greet, take permission and greet. Tasta'adhinu wa tusallimu. The fourth thing is this, that if you need to talk to a person on the telephone, right, then get him on the right time. Most people, when you have to talk to them over the telephone, out of consideration, they will say, all right, now you can talk. Right? That's most people. And very few people will say, no, I'm busy now, call later. Now, we need to understand, all right, this is a busy moment. I don't need to telephone him now. I shouldn't call him now. See, when it's his relaxed moment, then I will talk to him. So you look for the relaxed moment. And if it's an emergency, you need to disclose it to him, then tell him that I need to talk to you. Can I talk to you now, or must I talk to you later on? 10 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours later. You get the time from him. He'll respect you for that, that this person has got some etiquette, he's got some system in his mind. Then it's a news now. It's a news that you need to disclose. But it's not very pleasant news. It's not very pleasant news. But now, it's just around Maghrib time, when I make iftar just now, it's unpleasant news. Now, do you break the news at that time? You don't break the news at that time. Someone died now, someone near and close to you. And now you disclose, you divulge that at that moment. Uska to iftar gaya. He can't eat now. Just now it happened to me. Someone passed away, close to me. And they told me. The whole morning I was quite hungry. Came afternoon or lunch or evening time. And I can't eat. Not even one morsel I could eat. Not one morsel you can eat. So you feel affected. That you don't give that information at that moment, right? Similarly, at the time of meals, you don't talk of things that are not pleasant. You know, that person died, man. That person got cancer, right? That person is like this. You don't talk about things, right? You don't behave in a manner that will put the next person off. Like now, we're having meals now, and someone is taking out his nose, his handkerchief, and he's spitting out, and he's cleaning his nose, you're going to put the other person off. He's sensitive, you're going to put him off. So don't do this type of thing. You go out and you clean yourself and come back. If you're going to do this in his presence, then he'll feel, obviously he won't feel comfortable. These are simple things, we need to take cognizance of it. You're going to meet a sick person, or that person has got a heart problem, or he's got cancer. He says, you know what, hey, heart problem is dangerous, sir. That person, that uncle died, man. Cancer, that person, we just came to know about it, the next moment we go and he's gone. So now, is this the way that we conduct ourselves? I'm telling you of real experience, how people conduct themselves, how they You're not supposed to conduct yourself like that. You give the person hope. Don't worry, by a small thing. That other uncle, he went for that chemo. He pulled another 30 years, man. Don't worry about it. So you give him a little bit of hope. What is the deed that will happen? If he needs to live for 50 years, he'll live for 50 years. If he needs to die the next day, he will die the next day. But why must you kill him before his time? You broke his hopes now. He had that hope to live and you smashed it down completely. Now the person is waiting now. When Malakul Maut is coming. These are simple things, but we don't apply ourselves, really. Really, we don't apply ourselves. Time of meals, going to visit a sick person. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we apply ourselves? What must we say? What mustn't we say? For most people, I feel, they mustn't do the talking. Get an old man who's got screwed well. And then he do the talking. He will say the right things. The youngest person will say, he'll imitate. You know. He's imitation. So the man had lost his young firstborn, you know, firstborn he lost. So they went to offer the condolences to the man. So Allah Ta'ala give you a better replacement. Allah Ta'ala give you a better replacement. So the youngster learnt it. Now when you go and visit someone offering condolences, you say Allah Ta'ala give you a better replacement. Now the man had lost his father, 95 years old, mother is 89 years of age. Says, I learnt it now. Out of all that old lady's children, everybody says, Allah Ta'ala give you a better replacement. Now, what a stupid thing to say. Man gave him one smack. He says, what's wrong with you? What are you asking for my mother? You know what you're asking for my mother. So a little bit of application. Understand what you're talking, what you're saying, how you need to say it, where you need to say it. Agar kisi ke paas ghar ki akal na ho, he doesn't have simple understanding. And borrow it from someone. Get it from someone first. Don't just show your intelligence anywhere and everywhere. Communal living, see. Most of these mistakes is because we don't reason. We don't think. We don't apply ourselves. We don't reason. You make all these mistakes. These etiquettes of Jazakallah, thank you, how are you, congratulations. These are all Islamic etiquettes. Barakallah. So much of softness, so much of politeness. Imagine an enemy comes to the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aisha is with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is a flagrant sinner, big papiya, bara papiya, open sinner. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam notifies Aisha, bi isa akhul ashira, he's a very bad person. He's a terrible person. When he enters, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaks to him in a nice, gentle way, alana lahul kalam. When he leaves, as Aisha says that, Ya Rasulullah, before he could enter, you said that he's a very bad person. But when he came in, then you spoke him so gently, respectfully. But why is this? So Rasulullah explained to Aisha, that when did you see me to be an unhospitable person, an aggressive person? When did you see that? You didn't see me ever to be an unhospitable and an aggressive person. I need to show that hospitality, that's my akhlaq. But by the same token, Nabi Sallam needs to notify Aisha, that this person is like this. She mustn't be deceived into thinking that because Nabi Sallam showed gentle kindness to her, to this person here, then this person is worthy of respect. He's not worthy of respect. She must be careful about him. So both things have to be reconciled. The respect and know the person as well. So this respect, basic respect, kindness, gentleness, it's our ghar ki cheez thi. Our ghar ki is from our home. But now we went and moved it away. See this, how nice this person is speaking. White man, or this person, how nicely he is speaking. Waqi, really this was our home. This was the teaching of our home. And we left it, this world took it, now they're getting the respect.